game. Just be thankful you didn't see me dancing. Yes, I'm here to talk about the trip and my experience and why other people should go for these sorts of things. I thought I might start... Yeah, well, it's not supposed to be a sermon, so I thought I'd start talking about Jerry Maguire. How many of you guys have seen Jerry Maguire? Put your hands up if you've seen the movie. That's a fair few, yeah. Yeah, remember the part where Tom Cruise, you know, Jerry Maguire is telling Renee Zellweger he loves her, you know? He says the words, "You complete me." I thought I'd say that to you guys. You complete me. Don't be worried. I don't mean it in a romantic way. Lucky for you. But I do want to talk about love and relationships. So I might just get all of you to stand up and read the next Bible verse with me, which is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 to 32. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Thanks, guys. All right. So I'm not talking about marriage, but I'm talking about the profound mystery of Christ and the church. Can you imagine us having that kind of marriage-like relationship, in a sense, with each other? Can you imagine being so open with one another in complete trust because you know that the person that you're interacting with loves you with a godly, fervent love, loves you the way they love themselves, the way they love their body, the way they love their own personality, their character, and in return you love them as you love yourself, your body, your personality, your character. Jesus did exactly that. He modeled the perfect relationship with his Father and with others in his life here. He was in perfect communion with God and those around him, a complete life, a relationship of complete and perfect service to each other. I think that sounds really heavenly. I mean, don't you? That's what we were created for. The relationship between Christ and the church and the relationship of the church within itself, these are the relationships of heaven. That's why we were created, to have a deep relationship with God and with each other through Christ. And I can honestly say it is by the grace of God that I stand before you today. God revealed this to me in my life about 7 years ago through the next passage, which is John chapter 1, verse 51. I was at a stage in my life where I really didn't like Christians. I really didn't like church as an institution. But this verse, it says, "He then added," this is Jesus speaking to Nathanael, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So this verse was cryptic enough to stir my curiosity. I was wondering, what does this verse mean? The reference to angels ascending and descending ascending and descending from heaven led me to think about the dream that Jacob had at Bethel, where he dreamt about angels ascending and descending on a stairway. And that was a stairway to heaven. At the end of that dream, God repeats his covenant promise to Abraham. He repeats it to Jacob. He says, "Through your descendants, all nations will be blessed." And it just hit me then. God opened my eyes, you know, that the reason Jesus came wasn't just to forgive our sins and take us to heaven. It was to restore our relationship with God so that we could bless each other and all nations. That's the gospel message. That's what we're here for. So how do we do this? You know, go out there and conquer nations and tell them what to do, or, you know, tell them you're wrong, we're right. Obviously not. We do it by developing relationships. God created us for relationships with him and each other. And this is a crucial, important covenant step towards completing ourselves as Christians. We're called to have an outward focus. You might have heard these words about a month ago. Pastor Roger said them. That's the theme of the Bible, as he said, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it's core value number one for our church. Not core value number two, not core value number three. It's core value number one. If you're here at this church, you're here to reach out. Have an outward focus with each other and with those around you. How does it apply to my trip to the Philippines? Well, that's what it's all about. It's to declare God's glory to others, to, you know, as a church and as an individual, to be a light to all nations. To me, this applied in two ways in the Philippines. I experienced in two ways. the fire and the passion of the local people in the Philippines really inspired me. It made me come back with a new purpose, new focus, new vision. I was reinvigorated. I'll give you an example of just one of the people I met. In the next slide, you'll see I'll just point to him. He's over here. That's his name, Jordan. The second last from the left, right? Left, right? Okay. Your right, my left, whatever. Jordan. He's got an amazing story. You might have heard his story if you were here for some missions sharing spots. He's an orphan, raised in the San Buena slum community, and he's now in the Bright Light School. But before he joined the Bright Light School, he was an orphan and living on his own as a young teenager. He happened to break his arm one day playing basketball. Now, not having easy access to hospitals and not being able to afford it, instead of getting his hand put in a cast, he had a compound fracture of his forearm. Instead of putting it in a cast, he wrapped it in cloth and went back home and slept with that. That's unbelievable. He lived like that for about a year. After a year, the arm had healed. The bone had gone back inside, but the bone was infected, and there were fissures opening up in his arms. There was pus. It was not a pretty sight. The bone died, and the surgeon had to take it out. And this is the amazing bit. At the age of 17, the outer bone of his forearm regrew. That's quite a miracle. And as amazing as that miracle is, what was more amazing for me was seeing the fire and the passion he had for God. That blew away the story. Just meeting him in person really was amazing. That was really inspiring. The second way that I found this trip really helped me was that God stretched me in my relationships in every way, for example with others in the team. I mean, you just saw the video, didn't you? As you know, our relationships mature us. For example, living together as a family, as a married couple, I don't know about that, but yeah. If you have kids, I don't know about that either, but I imagine it really stretches you. At work, you know, the friction, the tension, the conflict of being with each other and having to tolerate other people and you know, I mean, could you put your hands up if you've been tested by other people at any point in your life? Well, only 10? Wow, you guys are saints. All right. But we grew as a family, as a team, when we were on that trip. And we really grew to trust each other. And we really deepened our relationships with each other. I saw my own faults and learned to understand and tolerate others' faults better. And I could not have been sharpened in these two ways by staying here. There was no way I could have done that with my church family. There's no way I could have deepened those relations. I couldn't have experienced that kind of friction. We're all kind of polite here in church. Sunday morning, yes, hello, how are you going? How's your week? Yeah, work was good. How's your weekend? Yeah. All right, that's about it. Head home. But this was living with them, interacting with them. They were my family for 2 weeks. And it gives you that outward focus. The change in surroundings sharpens your outward focus. So what's your outward focus like? What do non-Christians make of your relationship skills and your relationships with them, with each other and with them? Do they see Christ? Are we inviting people to the banquet for this union between Christ and the church? And if so, what is our banquet like when we invite them to a relationship with us? Are we ready to be good hosts, good servants? And I hope the answer to that question is something like what Paul said to the Philippians. He said in Philippians chapter 1, 3-6, he said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Are you ready to be completed? Are you ready to let God complete his good and perfect work in you?
Hi everyone, I'm Lydia. I would like to share one of my experiences from the trip. During the trip, we visited the Bright Light School and met many wonderful students. Among them are Paulo and Carol. On one occasion, I took a journey, a jeepney ride to the markets with Paulo and Carol, with 150 Filipino pesos, which is no more than $3.50 in Australian dollars. Spent it on 2 kilograms of rice and some fruits. After that, I went to their homes and gave the rice and fruits to their families. And this is where their homes are, which is back one slide. Okay, no, the next one. Okay, San Buena. This is one of the poorest slums in Manila. Is where they live. The next slide. Okay, pictured here is Carol's family where I visited her home. The whole house is only the size of my bedroom. The lady on the right is Carol's older sister. Carol had been abused in the past by a family member, and she was involved with a man who now threatens to kill this sister of hers. The leaders at Bright Light Schools are doing what they can to protect her. The next slide, we have a picture of Paulo and his parents. When I visited his home, his dad is one of the fortunate ones to have a job, but what he earned was still too little to support the family. After visiting these two families, I thought to myself, I can easily get anything I need, and yet I still complain for what I don't have. But what struck me that day was that these two families were more than grateful when I gave them the bag of food. Each only cost about $1.20 in Australian dollars. This may seem very little to us, but to them, it meant a lot. I'm so glad I went to the Philippines because it had given me more appreciation for what we all have, and has also given me more motivation to give to support the people over there. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to share about a story of one of the Bright Light students. That's this guy here. His name is Paul. He's 19 years old. He's a footballer, and he's one of the members of the Filipino Homeless World Cup team. So, yeah, all the team members from this team, they are like homeless young people who live in very difficult situations. Paul did not finish his high school, and he used to drink and do drugs. But after he has joined the soccer team, he has changed. He never drinks or do drugs anymore. This is what he said to the journalist during an interview. See, there's even a magazine using interview. Yeah. So this is what he said. My dream is that I can change my life by being part of this team. I will be with other people who will have a similar experience. I hope these relationships will help me to become a better person. So Paul is now living with his teammates. They train together regularly. And he's also a student at the Bright Light School. By knowing Paul and his story, I've learned that no matter who you are, what you have done before, and what circumstances you are in, God can give you hope. He can change your life. And by helping other people who's in need, we can really make a difference into people's life. I'm really thankful that I went on this trip because I have seen God making the impossible to become possible. Thank you.
Hi everyone. As most of you will know, Adrian and I were the co-leaders for this trip, and it was an incredible experience. You've now met the team and you've seen what amazing people they are and what a great time we had together. And today my not a sermon part two is to tell you all about can we not do that yet? Thank you. To tell you about the things that can prevent us from going and why that shouldn't stop us. So Steve has already shared about how important it is for us to have an outward focus and to declare God's glory to all nations and to go and see what God is doing all over the world. And so today I just want to share with you a bit of my story and how I ended up leading the trip and how I almost ended up not going this time. So, now we can have the thing. I don't know if you guys can see that, but basically, Vinay asked me if I would lead this trip back to the Philippines. And as you can see on the little thing, if you can, this is how you get a job in the legal industry. I'm studying law. In your second last year of uni, you apply to do internships with law firms. You hope you do a really good job, and then in your last year of uni, they'll offer you a position for when you graduate. And that's how everyone does it. It's very competitive, and it's very difficult to get a job any other way. So Vinay asked me to lead the trip last year, and last year was my second last year of university, and I was looking at applying for internships so that I could get a job when I graduate. And these internships run during the holidays, so the summer holidays, which was smack bang in the middle of this planned missions trip. For those of you who know me, you'll know that I have control issues. I like to plan things. I like to know where my life is going. I like to have, you know, a 5-year plan and then maybe sometimes a 10-year plan if I can see that far. And so you can see why doing this internship was very important to me. I wanted a job, you know. I want to do well in my career. And so I told Vinay yes, and then I said, oh, but maybe not. But can I have 3 more months? But can I sort of just think about it for a really long time and not really make a decision? So my control issues were making me very, very reluctant to say yes, even though I felt that God was telling me this is something you should do. I was dragging my feet. So as I was thinking of sharing this with you today, I turned to the Bible and found that there are very many examples of reluctant servants in the Bible. Moses, when he was instructed to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Gideon was chosen to free the Israelites from the attacks of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And he said, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. Who am I?" And Jeremiah was called to prophesy Jerusalem's destruction. And he said, "I don't know how to speak. I am only a child." So all of these people had been called to do something wonderful for God, and yet they were also reluctant. But God said to each and every one of them, when they made these excuses to God, he said, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you." And he always promised, "I will be with you." I'd like to share the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. So basically, Elijah had been chosen to rebuke the king of Ahab, and God said that there would be no rain or dew falling in Jerusalem for the next few years, except at Elijah's word. And then Elijah was told to flee from King Ahab, because obviously he was a little bit angry with him. Elijah was told to flee and live in a ravine where ravens would bring him food and he would drink water from a brook. But then, because no rain, the brook dried up and Elijah had no water to drink. And God told Elijah, Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So Elijah went there, met this widow, and he said, "Can I have a drink of water and can I have some bread? I'm very hungry." But the widow said, "We do not have any bread. We have a handful of flour, we have a little bit of oil, and I'm gathering sticks to make a final meal for myself and my son and wait to die." Elijah then told her, "Go, make the bread, give it to me, and the Lord will ensure that the flour and oil would never run dry." I was reading this and thinking about how I would respond if I was hiding all alone in a cave, birds were bringing me food, and I had to drink from this brook that was quickly drying up after I had done something that God had commanded me to do. I would have been absolutely flabbergasted. I would have been like, "God, come on, I did something really, really brave for you. Ahab's kind of scary, and I was obedient. So what am I doing here in a cave, all by myself, eating food from ravens? And also, remember how you told Ahab that there would be no rain? Did you not think about that? You know, I might run out of water too." Surprise, surprise, brook's all dried up. I've got no water. What am I going to do? I had my life all planned out, and then this Ahab thing happened, and, you know, I hope you know what you're doing, God. And I think Elijah, maybe he was a better person than I am, but I think something like that would have been going through his mind at some point. God, what is your plan for me? I obeyed you. What am I doing here? He had no idea what each day would hold for him, but he trusted that God would take care of him no matter what the circumstances were. And I learned two big lessons from this story about Elijah, that wherever God directs, his provision follows. So Elijah obeyed God to speak to King Ahab, and God provided him food. God provided him water. And when that provision ran out, God provided for him in a different way, in a way that he couldn't have foreseen at the start. The second thing is that our trust and obedience bring life to those in need. The widow and her son would have starved to death very shortly if Elijah hadn't shown up at that point. They had enough flour and oil for one meal, and that was it. But Elijah came along, and he saved them. So, coming back to my story about getting a job, I had always said before that I trusted God's greater plan for my life and his provision for me. But when Vinay asked me to lead this trip, I realized that I only said I trusted God when things were going according to my plan, when my plan was sort of in line with God's plan, and I was very happy with that. But when that was thrown out of whack, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. And my parents can attest to that fact. Vinay can attest to that fact. I was in their living room ranting for 2 hours on end, trying to figure out what I was doing. So finally, I went through a lot more internal struggling before I decided to go on this trip. And when I did, I pretty much said, God, you better sort this out or I'm never going to do this again. And guess what? You may probably be able to guess. He did sort it all out. I found out that some of the larger law firms do 2 rounds of internships. So I applied and I got one in winter rather than summer, and that was perfect. I did an internship, and the firm that I worked for offered me a part-time job afterwards. And I don't know for sure, but in 2 weeks I'll find out whether I have a graduate position with that law firm. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm praying very, very hard about it. But I do know that God has worked everything out for me. I know that I obeyed him, albeit very reluctantly. And he has paved the way for me. And all my worries and all my stress was really not for anything. And what about the Philippines? Well, you've heard the stories from our team. You've heard about the amazing people that we met, the relationships that we built, and the great time that we had together fellowshipping as a team. I've been to the Philippines 3 times now on short-term missions trips, and I've learned something different and taken away something different every single time. So I just really want to encourage all of us now that whatever issues we have in our lives, whether we're struggling financially, we're struggling with control issues like me, we have a plan and we don't want to wreck that plan. We just really need to trust God that he will take care of us if we live within his will. If we pray and we trust and we go, God, come on, better do your work. He will. He always provides. He has always provided from the time of Israel, and that promise stays true to us now. And also I learned that we're really bad at planning for ourselves anyway, so we might as well leave it up to God, who knows better. So just to wrap up, there are 3 more trips coming up. There's a trip to Mongolia at the end of this year. There's a return trip to the Philippines at the beginning of 2012, and there's also a trip to Senegal in 2012. There are so many opportunities for all of us to go and see what God is doing in a different part of the world. And, you know, you've seen our team. We had a 14-year-old high school boy who had never been out of Australia and thought Asia was a country. We had June, who was brilliant and young at heart and was the biggest party animal out of all of us. She seriously went to the most things. And, you know, you have everyone in between that you've met. We had Rebecca. I'm sure some of you got the emails. Rebecca suffers from a disease where her body attacks her liver, and she has 2% liver function. And when we were in the Philippines, she had to go to the hospital twice. But God still worked through her, and so many people were touched by her. And I just really hope this encourages you and lets you know that anyone can go. And you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing, and you will learn so much from the trip. So we're going to play a video now with a song, and I would like all of us to just take this time to think about whether this is something you would like to explore doing. If you're interested, please come and talk to us. The team is sitting up the front, and we will be here at the end of the service just to talk to you. And if you're interested, take down your name so that we can give you more information. But yeah, I really hope that all of you will take this wonderful opportunity to share in an experience that I don't think many churches provide for. So we're very blessed in that way. So thank you, everyone.